Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I am J.L. Covan here on a sweaty, disgusting Monday with producer Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. How you doing? It is gross and disgusting out.
Yeah.
It's really a chore to be alive on a day like today.
Just another sweaty Monday. Susanna Hoffs. Still looks great.
Does she?
Yeah. Every so often, the algorithm knows me. Every so often,
they give you a lot of Susanna Hoffs.
No, not a lot, but every just so often, like a random, it's Susanna Hoffs' 64th birthday, and like her Instagram pops. I'm like, wow, looking good.
Yeah, very attractive. I'm looking now.
Yeah. You think, I mean, I've had like the equivalent of like 2 to 3 hits in my career also. Mm-hmm. I feel like we could bond over that.
Yeah.
Remember how you were big for like a few years, Susanna? I was big for a few months. anyway, Mike, you're not watching the Olympics, are you?
I am not.
I have been, and yeah. I never expect to, but it happens slowly. Like I'll be at a bar and they'll have some events on, and then I'm just like, come on.
Right.
Come on. I mean, track is awesome. And like swimming and even the long distance ones, you're like, whatever. But then by the time that last lap, the announcers get you into there.
Yeah.
He's still on record pace. And you're like, well, fucking get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like being at the horse track. When you go, you're kind of like, ugh. And then you get there. You
I thought I was the old guy.
No, well, first off, I don't like gambling on horses. That's worse than your parlays. But, I mean, I've been a few times.
Nobody dies when I or gets beaten when I bet on Chris Kreider to score a goal.
But, yeah, it's the same sort of thing. Like, you start getting into it, then they get around the turn, and it's the last leg. The announcer's going crazy, and all of a sudden there's excitement, and you weren't expecting it. You're ripping up your ticket, whatever.
And horses that are just boosted on hormones and raped by Bob Baffert are just getting whipped.
Yep.
As it's
horse racing's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the death penalty. It's like it's one of those sports where you're like, Saudi Arabia, China, and America are the only ones still doing it. Right? It's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just like, I think we should get out of that business. It just with a company you keep, it doesn't feel like but I know all the Christians still want the death penalty. Sorry.
Yeah.
They love that. the Olympics have been awesome. Femke Bol, did you see this one? She was running the mixed. They do like a gender mixed relay. The 4x400, but like woman, man, woman, man, woman is the order.
Yeah,
this woman from the Netherlands. They were hyping her up before the race, and they were like, she is the best in the world at the 400 meter hurdles, and she's running anchor. And look for her at the end. When I tell you this woman was about 40 meters behind with 120 meters to go and won by like 7 meters, it was incredible. Mm. And then obviously Noah Lyles won the 100.
Yep.
That was exciting.
Simone Biles.
Yep. Incredible. But I got in trouble. I got in trouble, Mike.
With who?
They came for me. Cancel culture, bro. They came for me.
Uh-oh, finally.
After watching the women's 100 meter, where Sha'Carri Richardson finished second to a woman from St. Lucia, I believe, first ever medal for that country. And I watched how fast she ran, how powerfully she ran. She won it with like a 9.7.
Mm-hmm.
So I tweeted, I think we can all admit now that FloJo was definitely on something. Now, FloJo is literally before your time.
Sounds like it.
1988 Olympics, Florence Griffith Joyner, legendary athlete.
Okay.
She ran a 10.49 in the 100 meter dash, obliterating the record by like 0.25, which is insane.
Yeah.
In that race. It was wind aided, so it shouldn't have counted as like a legitimate record. But her second best time that Olympics was a 10.61, which would have been a record by like 0.13 or something. And there, she died at 39 of a childhood illness, they said. But of course, speculation was like, did her heart give out from all the juice?
Oh.
No, that was speculation. They say no.
Okay.
But of course, well, her record still stands 36 years later.
Hmm.
Now, Ben Johnson in the same Olympics ran a 9.79, which was steroid induced. It was erased.
Mm-hmm.
It was erased. And then the record that year was like a 9.93. That was still a world record. That's how much he obliterated it. But he was on steroids. Well, Ben Johnson's 9.79 has been beaten like 10 times since.
Right.
Florence Griffith Joyner's 100 still stands.
Oh.
36 years later.
Yeah.
So I just wrote that, not attacking anybody, just saying like, hey, discussion, like, come on, ha, ha, ha. But half laughing, half serious.
Yeah.
Well, black women were not happy with me.
You don't say.
One woman wrote, this is our, we're doing a reverse of the show. We're doing Punchdown of the Week.
You're the Punchdown?
I'm not the Punchdown. This one woman said, oh, so we can't accomplish anything on merit?
Mm.
And I go, no. Save it for the Kamala discussions.
Yeah.
I am questioning one record by one woman 36 years ago, who, by the way, if she didn't have the record, guess who'd take her place? A black woman.
Mm.
Like, it was bizarre. And then one woman wrote, fuck you.
Nice.
I was like,
right to the point.
Unless you are the daughter of Florence Griffith Joyner, what is your problem?
Yeah, like,
it was insane. It was like, I'm not here for any FloJo slander. I was like, then get off my fucking tweet.
Yeah.
That's simple. Problem solved. But that was fun. That was fun knowing that anything, no matter how old, no matter how suspect, can bring up, you know, issues for people. But other than that, I've had a lot of fun with the Olympics. I think I was asked, he never talks to me, he usually talks through you, but I was told, why don't you explain?
Well, we have a, obviously one of our favorites on the show, Vinny the Guinea. The Olympics is a time where countries are represented. You have the United States, you have, you know, Kenya, you have all of Europe and Russia.
Including Italy, bro!
Oh, no, Vinny, there he is. JL got out of here quick.
Well, you know, he's a fucking pussy. I think we've been through that, you know? He's not from the streets like me.
Yeah.
But I got to talk to you,
yeah,
Mike.
You're a real street guy, Vinny.
Well, yeah, the guy. Well, not the street like the homies.
Yeah.
I'm street like the block.
Right.
Like the stoop.
Yeah, yeah.
When the street was clean.
Right.
You know, they can talk about John Gotti, but he kept the neighborhood safe.
Right.
My point is, I thought you, now he wouldn't like this. He's very anti-Italian.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I was disgusted by the Olympics. And I think you know what event I'm talking about.
I don't know if I do.
Well, the pole vault.
Okay.
Which obviously, you know, who's going to win the pole vault? Somebody from either Africa or Italy, if you know what I mean. And I'm watching the pole vault, and I see this guy from France.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Jean-Jacques Homo?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? And this guy's name is Anthony Amorati.
Sounds like one of us.
Does that sound French? Le Anthony Amorati? No, this is one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't know what they chased him out of France, like, you know, paid him. I understand, paid him maybe some under the table. I get it if you, you know, it's business.
Yeah.
But I'm going, how's this guy on France? And he goes up, and he's about to medal. He's about to medal. And he gets up there, and you know how they do the fucking...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's coming down, and he cleared it. He cleared the fucking pole. He's going to get a medal.
Yeah. Good for him.
And his fucking brajol hits the pole on the way down. His pole hit the pole, and they disqualify. He couldn't medal.
That sounds like it's some anti-Italian sentiment.
This is the discrimination I'm talking about. We get up there with
even French Italians are getting discriminated against.
You know, his passport says French, his pants say Italian.
You're right.
And he gets, and I mean, notice you don't see any of the black guys knocking things over.
Yeah.
No, because they're very, you know, the hurdles, nobody trips over. I mean, this guy might have tripped over a hurdle if
you
know
think
what
it's because they're more athletic in general.
Watch your foot. That's an unfair statement. This guy was over the pole. He's athletic enough, but they don't accommodate the big penis Italians.
Right. Yeah.
And I want an investigation.
This is, I mean, you know as well as I do, this is life with a big penis. It's
I
not all
want an investigation. The Italians are being discriminating. I was putting up that Stevie Van Sant meme from The Sopranos, even though I don't watch that fucking show.
Right.
It's disgusting to our people, but I like the meme, the gif, gif. And I feel for this guy. I mean, he's going to be a hero when he goes back, but I want him to come home.
Yeah.
You know, that belongs to the women of Italy. You don't put the baguette in some hairy French broad.
Yeah, that's a semolina.
That's a baston. That's a girth. You bring that home. It was like a pole versus pole. It was like Star Wars, two lightsabers going at it.
Yeah.
So, Anthony Ammirati, we're here with you in solidarity. We see you. You know, like the liberals would say, we see you.
Mm-hmm.
We see your junk. Okay? You have a gold medal in our minds.
Wait, Vinny, I just noticed you're wearing a Hillary Clinton t-shirt.
Ironically.
Oh.
I thought you knew jokes.
I guess I don't. Not as well as I thought I did.
On the back, instead of I'm with her, it says I fucked her. You got to see the back to get the joke. Oh, I fucked the Secretary of State. Oh. Secretary of my balls.
Right.
So Anthony Ammirati, I'm going to get out of here, but I got to say that I didn't want to wait till the end. They always make me wait.
I know. Yeah, we're talking the Olympics now.
Now, the receptionist, I think, wants a little bit, a little piece, to be honest. But I don't like waiting. I got things to do.
Right.
So, you know, Anthony Ammirati, you know, get rid of the French passport already.
Yeah,
you're one of us. Okay. And they got to fix the pole vault. It's obviously racist, you know. Obviously, if you use the wrong pronouns, people get upset. You see how much? Oh, people thought the boxer was a man.
Hmm.
She's not. But but that was an international case.
Yeah.
But this guy jumps over a pole, does something you don't see Italians do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't accommodate all these little dick pole vaulters. We weren't prepared for the big pepperoni hitting the pole. And that's his fault. He loses because he wins.
It's such a shame.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. I got to get the fuck out of here. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, Vinny. Well, thank you for coming by while we were talking about the Olympics. And, hey, did you see Vinny on the way out?
Yeah,
I know you guys are, you don't
necessarily. Bumped my shoulder on the way out.
Yeah.
I thought we were wearing the same t-shirt.
No, but his says, I fucked her.
It's gross on the back. I was like, oh, yeah, that explains it.
Right.
Degenerate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what are you going to do?
But you seem to enjoy yourself when he's here.
Hey, listen, man, you know, he might be the lowest common denominator, but he's my lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all.
I don't know if it does. Well, I'm loving the Olympics is the point of that. And I just get into it. I don't expect to. And then I'm just like for 3 hours. And then with Peacock, it's, did you hear about this guy, Anthony Ammirati?
Yeah, Vinny and I just talked about it. Big cock.
He puts the cock in Peacock.
Yeah.
I end up like sitting for hours. Like I'm watching one thing and then they, you know, oh, who's winning the swimming? Oh, track. Oh, we're here.
Yeah.
It's
is Costas doing any of the Olympic stuff?
They got a bunch of foreigners doing it. Oh, like there's a lot of Brit accents doing it. Like Bob Costas has elevated himself to like cultural critic, I think.
I guess so.
Cultural commentator.
You're kind of right about that. I love him to death, though. I fucking love Bob
Costas. Yeah, he's great. But he was very aggressive getting Joe Biden out of the paint.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a threat to our society, but Joe Biden is old as fuck. All right. Well, that's Olympic talk. I don't think I had anything else to banter about up front. But we're going to talk. I watched a special, folks, as I always do every week. And this one was called Burn the Boats by a man you may have heard of named Joe Rogan. So I think we're just going to, in the main section, have a discussion of the special and also the influence Joe Rogan has on the culture and what he means. So we're going to do some alpha brain during the break and come back, get inked up and talk MMA and aliens and supplements after the break with Joe Rogan. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
I'm all hopped up on Alpha Brain.
Yeah.
Ready to talk about Joe Rogan.
I take it before every podcast. Yeah, I want to be as sharp as possible.
You got to, dude.
Now, as a starting point, I watched his special, and it's already, and by the time our episode goes live on Thursday, it will be probably talked to death.
Yep.
Because it went up, I think they did it live, like just the way they did with Chris Rock. They did his special live as a streaming event, and then obviously now it's available. I watched it on Sunday, knowing that I had to get a special, and I thought, what better, you know, this is going to be a talked about special.
Of course.
And when I tell you it felt like, boy, I thought Bill Maher was stale until I watched this. because and the weird thing is Rogan is a guy who communicates with a lot of comedians. He owns a comedy club. He is in the comedy scene. Mm-hmm. Like he is not Bill Maher is in his like TV show mode and then does his like big theater shows for people who are like not stand. They're fans of Bill Maher. They like the political stuff.
Right.
But they're not looking for the cutting edge takes. They're not maybe online all the time seeing jokes like happen in real time.
Right, right, right.
But Rogan is in the comedy ecosystem in multiple ways. Club owner, performer, podcast host with a lot of different guests, but plenty of comics. And it felt like so stale for somebody like that. Like on a relative scale, it felt staler than Bill Maher. It's some trans material, which is there like a question for all the real comics out there? You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Rogan. I'm talking about Gutfeld guests. Is there a obligation to do a trans bit? Like, I got to tell you, Mike, and
it is so weird, isn't it?
You know how I like to toot my own horn.
I sure do.
Because nobody else is yet.
Yeah.
I have a joke on my 2016 album, Israeli Tortoise, called Transroids. Now, that bit was a very supportive bit where I go, what they did in North Carolina is gross. This was around the time of like the bathroom bans. And by the way, 2016. So 3 years before Dave Chappelle discovered his disgust with the trans community.
Right.
And
I hate this.
Let me tell you something, Mike. I walked into a bathroom and I saw a woman sitting on a urinal. And I said, you are confused. You don't know what to do. You're supposed to be in the women's bathroom. You're sitting here taking a pee in a urinal, sitting on, you don't sit. Anyway.
I'll tell you, you're Dave and you're Cornel West. Similarities.
Well, you know what? All black impressions look alike. No, Cornel was about breathing. It's about breathing out. I'm breathing out with the mic, with the breathing out. You will make your point, push it out. And Dave's like, I'm bringing it in because I'm a smoker. Mm. But there is the rhythm.
It's that rhythm.
Yeah. And by the way, fans.
And you know what it is? They're both telling the truth.
Yeah, they're both truth tellers.
Yeah.
By the way, fans, the fact that the Cornel West didn't get as more views that it did, like saying that he was suing Pauly Shore for stealing his cadence is one of my favorite ad libs of all time. Mike, you got to remember Slickback Studios. Yeah. Mike just gave me the kind of, he didn't give me the like keep it going, but he was like, we've run this course. Yeah. Anyway, so the bit was about seeing memes on the internet of like buff trans men, like they were women, they've taken their hormones, they work out, and they're like shredded. And the thing was like, the meme was like, you want this person in a women's bathroom just to show like, hey, this person really is living and identifying as a man. Mm-hmm. So let them go into, vice versa, obviously. So I just said, yeah, but these trans men are clearly on steroids. And I said, is that the you get a pass for that if you are trans? Because usually in my world, I'm always hearing about how bad steroids are and how bodybuilders and baseball players can't get into the Hall of Fame. So I said, so I got some good news and some bad news for Barry Bonds.
Come clean, Barry, about being a woman.
Right. And you got to get into the Hall of Fame. Now, I felt like that was a pretty original take because I'm doing it from the I'm on your side, but versus it's crazy. You identify as a cat next. So he did some trans material, which was fairly basic, not offensive, but fairly basic. He said the F word. That was like, ooh, he had a bit about how he misses saying the F word. And I was like, yeah, I was in middle school in the 90s as well. But I don't miss it anymore. Mm-hmm. I just stopped saying it because it was, but okay, that he's speaking to his audience, I've had arguments with people as recently as like within the last 5 years about why I think the F word is bad. The gay slur, for anybody who's wondering. I say fuck all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the gay slur, because it's hate speech.
Yes.
I mean, and so he went through these sort of topics. He was like bugging his eyes. It was very like screaming and demonstrative. It was like compensating for maybe like not the greatest writing with like these loud outbursts. And overall, I'm trying to think what else he talked about, because if you just name a generic topic right now and it's like, he hit on that and like well-worn territory, like some wokeness talk, things that all felt like, man, did you dust off a 2018 notebook and like bring this to the table? And the first thing that came to my mind is the thing that always comes to my mind with like super famous, super wealthy people. Why?
Yeah.
Why do it?
Yeah.
Like, why do it if you are worth like hundreds of millions of dollars, you have success? Like, you got to know that this is like stale or not the hot shit. Like, you don't need the money. You don't really need the increase in audience. You're not pushing any boundaries, at least. And I don't like a lot of Chappelle's newer stuff, but at least he's provoking. Like, there is something about the art. If you don't say it's good, it's provocative. It's provoking. It's doing something. Agree or disagree, like it or not, find it funny or not. Whereas this felt like neither provocative nor funny nor fresh. And you're like, who's, come on. You need, and I wonder, is Rogan at that as a kingmaker now? Is there nobody in his circle? He might be at that place where it's like any of the comics in his circle, do they have the freedom or ability to say, that's not working?
Yeah, yeah.
And probably not.
Yeah.
Which is a weird place to be as a comedian. Like, I remember seeing Seinfeld's documentary way back when, where he was annoyed because he would get on stage and people would laugh. And it's like, that wasn't that good. You're laughing because like he was frustrated by like, I want honest feedback. And Seinfeld, I think, is somebody who has peers in his circle. Like, he can go to Chris Rock and say, what do you think of this?
Well, I was going
to
say, even if I remember right, even in that comedian doc, he like Colin Quinn was being real enough with him. Not like that joke sucked or whatever, but like something bombs. Well, you know, the crowd right now is blah, 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 blah. But I feel like they were actually sitting at a table kind of talking about, I think Colin Quinn's got that type of je ne sais quoi. Like, comedians, you just trust the guy,
right?
You know? So I don't know. I don't know who that is in Austin.
No, and I don't think it exists because he's like sort of in this, it's like he's the new Johnny Carson.
Only of a certain type. Yeah.
But he is the only one right now that I know of in the entertainment space, forget just stand up, who can make you.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny Carson brings you over to the couch, you're a star. Right. You have just achieved, like, you've unlocked a cheat code in comedy if Johnny Carson has you sit down. The next day you're booking gigs, an agent,
sitcom.
Blah, blah. Yeah. It's on. And Rogan has proven that as well. Like, you have a game changing performance, or if he becomes part of his like inner circle or somebody, you're made. You're a made guy. Now, with a certain audience. It's a big audience, but it's a certain type of audience, but you will be big. But as far as the special, just to get that out of the way on the lower level, I the comedian in me doesn't understand why somebody puts out just stale. It wasn't even, and he does the thing, and now we can pivot to sort of his role as like a cultural influence. But he was doing this thing in his stand-up where it was like, I'm an idiot. Why do you listen to me? And it's like, oh yeah, see, it's all jokes. It's all, he doesn't know stuff. He just is interested in stuff and he doesn't know. And that's all fine and fun. But in real life, it's a little different. Like, that's almost like you're creating an alibi for what you do, but...
Well, it's literally what Alex Jones did. Right? Alex Jones went when he got brought up in court for the Sandy Hook stuff. He was like, "Oh no, I have no credibility. No one should listen to what I say. It's a character."
Right.
And the families of Sandy Hook were like, "That doesn't sound right to us."
Well, now it's a bankrupt character.
Right.
And that's the thing. Rogan, even in his special, brought up Alex Jones as knowing a lot of stuff. Now, it was kind of funny when he said this. He goes, Alex Jones actually knows a lot of stuff, but he was wrong on that one thing. And he continues saying, and he goes, he was actually really wrong on that one thing. That's funny because that's an awareness of like the fact that he got sued for $1 billion, like lost $1 billion. But it just made me he, as a stand-up, I've just never really found funny. And this was not good. And that was it. Like, that was just going to be my review of the special. But then I thought, we don't have a topic today, and Mike has opinions on him.
I do.
And I thought, this guy has become... Is he the new Howard Stern?
No. Well, like, maybe in influence and in having, like...
Well, that's what I mean. I don't mean in terms of, like, his skills or his, you know... But I mean in terms of as an influencer.
I mean, it's I've actually thought about this a lot lately because I have been listening to so much like old Stern just at home, mm-hmm. you know, with passing time. And the thing is, I think Stern's audience, there's a lot of like guy bullshit, like, you know, we're men, we go to strip club. There is definitely a ton of that. But at its core, it's like Stern's audience is also just kind of like a bit of a freak show. And Rogan's audience is like these just guys that are just brutal to be around. Like they're the worst, not worst kind of guys. I don't want to generalize it in the sense that they like do bad things. They're just like the worst hangs, essentially. You know what I mean? Again, I'm not making it about them doing bad things. It's just like you see one of those dudes coming, you can kind of like spot a Rogan fan 50 feet away, and you're just like, just please don't talk to me about ivermectin and all this shit, you know? And I just don't think Stern's fans were like that. I think there was like a grossness to them.
Yeah.
But I think that...
But Howard Stern was never, even though it was guy stuff, he was never presenting himself as sort of the model of manhood.
Ever. Not at all. He was just doing an entertaining show.
He was self-deprecating as like himself. And there is something about comedy about being a little humble. And I'm not saying Joe Rogan does enough. I'm not saying he's always beating his own chest, but he has become this sort of symbol, knowingly become a kind of, I'm inked up. I take testosterone. I have those weird nipples that mean I'm on like tea.
Yeah.
I'm inked up, like way inked up in my 50s.
Yeah.
He
like Rogan has become kind of a parody of himself in a way. Like it's just kind of like the beginning of Rogan. Cause I didn't dislike his show early on when it came out. He's been doing that podcast now for, I don't know, like 10, 12 years, something like a long time. And at the beginning, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, they played a video of mine 11 years ago when Amy Schumer was a guest. So that 11 years ago.
Yeah, so he's been doing it for at least that long and probably a little bit longer. It's probably like 13, 14 years or whatever. And I actually think that his show early on was like kind of fun. He would have weird people on and they'd have weird conversations about shit that you like don't usually get to talk about. But then I think because of the UFC thing and he just, it's weird to me that he even still does comedy because the podcast has nothing to do with comedy. Right.
And I watched, you know? By the way, I said this to you like last week off mic, but, or maybe on mic, but Rogan, I don't even watch MMA, but like the clips of him discussing MMA fighters are captivating.
He's great. He's very good at that. So right. It's not even like, to me, it's not a, I think he's good at certain things and he's like, what the hell is going on out there?
It sounds like the bus is moving without fucking, wheels.
Yeah, that fucking scumbag. We have
Vinny.
To the audience. We have a guy in the lot next door. I think making something for Burning Man, talking about stupid shit that nobody should care about. But that early stuff with Rogan, like he was like the right guy to host Fear Factor. He was as a dumb show, but he was fucking pretty good at it. And he was the right guy. Like, he was in at the right time for UFC. He definitely knows what he's talking about with that stuff. He's good on air for that stuff. It's just weird that comedy kind of went from, and if we're talking about Stern.
He did comedy for a long time.
Totally.
Like, it's not like he began, he didn't need like an influencer on TikTok. Like, we got to get you making money somewhere. Go up on stage. Like, he has a long history with it. But I, like, when was the pivot? And I'm curious because for me with Carolla, I'll give you Carolla as an example because I had a relationship with that show and I have nothing bad to say about Adam Carolla at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like his political views in many ways, but personally, he was always nice to me. It was his fans that sort of made me go, it's not worth it going on anymore because I'm not picking up new fans. And as that happened, it was like his fan base became people like me. Who are like, yeah, I don't agree with them politically, but like 90% of the show is hilarious comedy.
Yeah.
So great. And it won't hurt to hear once in a while, like at least some of his political views or most of his political views are like honestly held.
Yeah.
Like he's not doing it for something.
Right. It's not shtick.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that that makes me agree with them, but I'm like, I can tolerate it if I'm like, if I think you honestly hold these beliefs and aren't gaming a system.
Yeah.
But his fans, I would pick up like 100, 150 followers after an appearance. And then all of a sudden, 2016 comes around. And I'm getting like 3 followers and 10 comments of like why I'm wrong on something and this.
Right.
And I wonder, when did Rogan go from, because I remember his podcast was not the biggest thing in the world. It was successful, but there's a lot of top 30, top 40 comedy podcasts. Corolla at the time was like one in like 2013, 2014 on the comedy charts when I was there. And then Rogan, all of a sudden this move happened. And I'm wondering, because my audience only likes it.
I haven't. When
politics get tied in. So feel free to put on the cover, you got to put at least one Trump picture amidst pictures. Not for Ryan Reynolds.
I didn't for Ryan Reynolds, but I really went all out with the Deadpool stuff.
No, that was good.
Thank you.
But yeah, throw it with Trump, because I noticed, I thought Corolla, and I can only use Corolla as a parallel example, made this more hard right turn after Trump was like the winner and shit. Whereas I thought it would relax him. Like, all he kept doing is complaining about Elizabeth Warren and liberals. And I was like, well, look, Trump won.
Right.
So why are you complaining so much about Elizabeth Warren instead of...
This country hates the liberals.
Right. Like they lost.
Yeah.
But you don't... You're somehow feeding into this, like, we got to attack this side now. We kind of won. The liberals are unhappy. And now we have to attack them while they're down or something. Or... We feed off of negative energy,
so we have to
find a negative spot. And I'm wondering, is that when Rogan blew up?
No.
Or you know.
No, I don't know for a fact. But my theory is, first off, he's one of the only guys to this day still that I'm pretty sure he does a podcast every day.
Mm-hmm.
He does a show every day. Most other people don't have they're kind of too lazy to do that.
Right.
I mean, when you have the influence to be able to put out an episode every day between either like your friends that you're turning into stars or getting real stars.
Yep.
At some point, he started getting bigger guests, Steven Tyler, Bernie Sanders.
Mama, do me that
He starts getting real big names, and it's like you get maybe two of those a week.
That was my Bernie Sanders impression, by the way.
Not Steven Tyler.
Just to be clear.
But I think that's a big part of it. And I think that probably happens a little bit before Trump. And the thing is, you start getting these guys, it becomes a safe place for, you know, the dude from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kiedis, to like go on and be like, yeah, bro, there's like aliens out there. And so all of a sudden it's like the dumping ground for people's weird fucking stupid LA thoughts or whatever.
Right.
So I think it became this mix of all of these things. And when you have a show every week, you're hyper relevant, and beyond that,
every day.
Yeah,
we're not hyper relevant.
We're not hyper relevant. Yeah, we're no Rogan. But the other aspect of it is UFC blew up, and it was always kind of there, but then it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's the guy.
Right,
Rogan's the guy. Now you go listen to his podcast. He has like one of those UFC fighters on a week. And they're kind of previewing these fights.
Right.
So that's a great way to keep... He's kind of doing a show that covers a lot of different... Honestly, from a programming standpoint, if you were like a radio programmer or whatever, it's kind of perfect. It's the way to keep an audience.
He's got multiple built-in fan bases.
Right.
Plus a variety to draw.
So, yeah. And then the other people on his show start getting bigger. It's like Bert Kreischer's career. I think there's a lot of stuff that takes off in tandem. And then I think that the reason why Rogan is such a tricky figure is because I don't actually think that Rogan is a political figure. I think Rogan likes to put as many of his opinions out there as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he sees himself as a guy that just like, it's what you hear women talk about dudes on dates all the time, that they like, they love to play the devil's advocate, and they love to like kind of like challenge you on thoughts. And a lot of times, you know, they're like thought exercise episodes of shows.
Right.
But the weird thing is, like you said, my issue with Rogan, and I think the thing that made him controversial really is, it has a lot more to do with the fact that he is now an entity that is in the mainstream. And it's an information source, whether he likes it or not. And he doesn't view himself that way. So he gives himself the out to say, well, I don't really know what I'm talking about. Why would anybody listen to me talk about COVID or whatever? But
even though he's very passionate talking about it when he talks about it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So I mean, I'm sure he still likes doing comedy and loves comedy and has comedians on or whatever. But I also kind of think, I don't think this is calculated, but truthfully, being a comedian gives him this sort of smokescreen of almost like deniability in a way, where it's like, yeah, I do a show, we talk about stuff. And honestly, this is one of the one areas where, like, I kind of think regulation, we're seeing how bad it is to not have some kind of regulation, like what it's doing to people's brains, the way that they receive information. Because a lot of people take Rogan seriously, even if he doesn't want to believe that. People listen to things that they hear on his show and they take it as gospel and they internalize it and turn it into, you know, I heard this somewhere. Well, where'd you hear it? The fucking this nonsense show with this guy who's high while he's recording the show. And, it, you know, it changes things up in a way that's kind of dangerous. That's my issue with him.
Yeah. And I can tell, like, I've had conversations with a friend recently where I'm like, it feels like I just got hit with, like, today's episode where I'm being told, like, when I'm told in the same conversation that Robert Kennedy Jr. is making some good points about vaccines, that Fauci is a liar, and that I might need to get a gun, I'm like,
who's that?
Rogan, right? Rogan?
Yeah, right.
This is Rogan, right? Like,
right.
I don't know any, like, I don't know the store you go to get all three of those things other than the Rogan Emporium.
Right, right.
But, and I once made a joke that I said, you know, the worst Rat Pack of all time has to be Rogan, Musk, Chappelle, and Yang.
Yeah, dude.
When they were like a little quartet, I was like, ugh.
That's the other thing, too. Like, when you really stop and think about a lot of the people that just, like, roll through that show, it does just kind of gross me out. Like, I get it. It's interesting that a forum like that exists, where, like, one day you can have Elon Musk, and the next day you can have Alex Jones, and the next day you can have, you know, Shane Gillis or whatever. And I don't know. I guess that's one of the things that kind of bugs me, because it's so irresponsibly produced that it's not like when you go back to the days of like Dick Cavett or something, where like he would have these controversial figures from all walks of life on his show. But there was like a system there to kind of keep some level of civility. I don't even know what word you want to use. And I don't know. I just think that like Rogan, this whole Rogan thing has just like gotten out of control. And he doesn't even really bother me as much as like people that like him.
Well, that
bother
was,
me
like
so
I said,
much.
With Carolla, that was my thing with Carolla. When the fan bases began to homogenize, because I remember going out on a date with a woman who was like, oh, I'm a huge Carolla fan. I was like, oh, cool. And
it's
then
like a red flag.
She was very, very normal. But I'm telling you, this is back. I have friends, male and female, who listened, who don't listen anymore.
Yeah.
Because there was this sweet spot where it was like, yeah, I know my politics aren't the same, but it was like, that's not making the audience like one type of dude.
Yeah. And, not isolating anybody.
Right.
Right.
And with Rogan, sometimes I like, it's like the podcast, it feels like the podcast for the debate me, bro.
Yes, guys. Exactly. That's exactly right. Like,
come on my terms on the issue I select. Well, debate me, bro.
Just like think about how annoying Aaron Rodgers is, and like publicly, you're just like, oh my god, dude, go away, leave me alone, shut up. And it's just like it's an army of those guys that are just think it's masculine to just like debate every semantic of every single topic, and you're just like, it's just annoying. Right. Leave me alone.
I had a buddy go on there when he was launching his own podcast, Pete Dominic, who fans of mine know has been a great friend to me. And he went on that, like, which is obviously a big platform.
Of course.
But they talked about guns a lot, and Pete is a real left-wing guy. And he got a ton of hate mail, a ton of, like, the criticism was almost uniformly
bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, you're sitting there going like, oh, I thought that, oh, this is the same thing with humor. I feel like he has cultivated a space, maybe not entirely his fault, but it's in his power to change it if you want to.
Right.
And he has cultivated a space where it's like, we're about free thought, unless you're in that fucking camp, and then we will come, not him necessarily, but like
that,
mob that supports you will come for their... If you're a fucking loon or libertarian, which is just a selfish, a more selfish Republican who likes leather jackets.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a free space here to think and express and question. oh, okay, well, I'm a left-wing guy, and I think this. And unless you are a left-wing, like, far left, where it's like we almost meet again at our craziness, if you're a thoughtful left-wing person, they will fucking come for you. You're not going to find this, like, new fan base that's going to be... You either stay away from that stuff, which is fine. If you're a comedian, you want to do politics, that's fine. Or you better be in that right libertarian or fucking crackpot.
Yeah.
Then it's a safe space.
Well, and credit to, I will say, I do think Rogan is down to have whoever on. So, like, I'm sure he must have known Pete's a political guy.
No, and I don't think that was, but my question.
I know, you're talking about the audience.
Yeah, and I think, like, I would gladly go on his show, not that he would ever have me.
Right.
But I would gladly go on his show, but my motivation would be like, hey, maybe this will be a great clip for other people to see and book me, because his audience will not like me.
So I mean, you can get on crooked media shows and stuff like that.
I tried in 2020. I fucking went to Williams College. So did John Lovett.
Yeah.
I thought that was, hey, we both went to the fucking same tiny school and we're both anti-Trump and I'm having a moment. Never a response. God damn it.
No.
But my, like, I, you know who should go on Rogan? Pete Buttigieg, if he hasn't already. Because he's like the right, he's so smart.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he could crush it if he hasn't been on. It wouldn't surprise me if he's been on the show. Because he's just so smart and thoughtful and clear that I think he would make a great guest. I don't think Kamala Harris should go on.
No.
Because I think, regardless of what you might have criticisms of her, I think it would be... The only way that benefits Rogan is if it's a gotcha embarrassment dunk on her. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those ones where you go, can she win this, quote unquote, by going on? Is there any avenue where she would win? Because her audience, the audience, even if she makes a good point, would probably just be like, more un-American garbage.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Woke. Like, it's not...
It's tough, man, because, I don't know what Rogan's politics are at this point. Who the hell knows? I don't know if it's important. It's just, it's all so tricky, and I think that's the reason why this, his show specifically bugs me the most, especially with these, like, Stern comparisons, man. It's like, because you'll see that on the internet. People will compare the two, and they're just not even in the same realm. Like, Stern is just... For all his nonsense in his, like, heyday of just being, like, out of control and wild, like, now that he's gotten to a place where he's doing a show that's closer to a podcast, it's a lot more, like, introspective, and he lets you in on it, like, what he's really thinking and everything. Like, I just, they're not even on the same level of, like, thoughtful.
Right.
Like, Stern to me is such a thoughtful guy, and the way that he addresses all of this stuff, which is crazy to thought you would have never said that 20 years ago, I bet. But it's just weird. I think that, like, Rogan's show is done so carelessly that is the thing that kind of bugs me about him. And it beyond influencing how people think and kind of react to things that are happening in the world, be it political or social or whatever, it's also influencing media in a way that just drives me fucking nuts, man. The 5-hour episodes of these shows have just... A guy sitting there and like, it's just, as a producer, it bothers me. Like, I just don't think it's, I don't know. I have a lot of problems with it, and I don't even think a lot of it has to do with him specifically, but whether it's his fault or not, I think we got a lot of really dumb problems and dumb people because of him.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
No, I think so. And I think, I'm not claiming he's the same as a social media platform where they take no responsibility for the damage they've done.
Yeah.
But there...
He kind of doesn't.
There is... No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's... I couldn't even tell you if he's like a good... I don't get the vibe that he's a bad person.
Nor do I. Yeah.
But I do get this sort of like... blind spot where it's like we're a safe space for all sorts of thought, and you empower some pretty thoughtless, you know, like as I joked before the show, a thought leader for the thoughtless is sometimes how it feels. Like, you're a curious guy, but you maybe don't know enough to push back on some of the more dangerous guests. Like, you know, the amount of people I can hear called Anthony Fauci a liar bothers me. Things like that where you're like, but this becomes kind of gospel because it becomes this echo chamber, but of like a, not an echo chamber, like the algorithm is giving me this stuff and I think it's fucking with me. I'm like angry, or maybe I should put social media. Instead, it's a successful, multi-talented guy creating a large community of like-minded people where he seems like an open, cool guy. Like, I don't feel like he's indoctrinating me, but the, but it's almost like the ecosystem that he is, that's centered around him is this kind of groupthink brosphere where, you know, even people I wouldn't think would be saying the stuff, like they listen to it enough and they don't, you know, instead of subscribing to the New York Times, it's easier to declare that mainstream media is garbage because I feel more connected to the information and the opinions of the Rogan show.
Well, yeah. And to bring it back to something like Dick Cavett, or even if you want to take it broader to news, you know, the New York Times has an obligation to correct mistakes. So if they make a mistake when they're reporting something, obviously when you're reading a newspaper, if they get something wrong, you're not going to see it until they get around to correcting it, whether it's the next day, probably a little quicker now with the internet.
Right.
But that is what credibility is built on. The fact that, you know, we misled you. We didn't do it purposely, but we got wrong information. Maybe we reported it too fast, whatever, and that happens sometimes. Here's your correction in the paper. Same thing with a television show. Like that is one of the reasons why you trust a George Stephanopoulos or somebody like that, because they have an obligation to tell you, hey, listen, new information, we were wrong, et cetera, et cetera.
But what you're saying now, like the people who are in the row, you know, the debate me libertarian types, I think, you know,
yes,
you know, at least one who I'm thinking of, right?
I do. I know the one you're thinking of. Leather jacket.
he is a, like there is this, they'd scoff at what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, because they hold some sort of like, by being extra cynical, you hold some more divine truth. Like, oh, so you buy that they're going to apologize. Okay.
They sheep. Do it. Yeah, right. I
okay,
know.
Sheep. Like, yeah. They'll apologize for what they want to apologize for. They won't talk about the lies they spread about COVID. You know, things that are like misunderstandings during a crisis become lies the government tells you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where he's obviously a target often of people. Like, on rare occasions, I've even shared a clip from his show like years back where it was like, that was a good, not even like thoughtful, like that was a funny thing or that was this. And yet you're going to get somebody who's just like, he's scum. He's, and I go, at the same time, I'm like, well, give it a rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think, you know, it's one of those. We're in the age now of with great power comes absolutely no responsibility.
That's kind of right. Yeah, that is the bummer about this whole thing.
And it just feels like, just like Facebook, I was going to say he's not like a social media network, but he kind of is.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
And yeah, of course, he's got millions, not billions of users and stuff. But like just the same way they go, hey, we're just a platform for, it becomes a thing of, you know, for a country that's always proclaiming that our young men are in crisis, maybe solutions, not more speculation, more theories and more blaming and attacking. Not that he's like, but like we need less Robert Kennedy Jr. to help our disillusioned young men. You know, we don't need Anthony Fauci is not what's causing you problems or making you angry or, you know, whatever it is. Not saying he's exactly the incel whisperer, but it's like there is this vibe around his audience that it's like certain things are true, like trans. If you could poll the Rogan audience, I think they'd be like wokeness is the biggest problem. Fauci's a liar. Guns save lives. I'm interested in Robert Kennedy Jr. Fauci's a liar.
You said that.
You got to say it twice. Okay. I like rape. That was a Blazing Saddles reference there. No, I got to tell my audience. Yeah. I got to explain that.
I like rape.
You said rape twice. You know, and it's just one of those things where once that becomes in the aggregate, you're sort of raising a generation, or a, maybe it's not even a generation, but a large group of people who have a sort of slightly warped sense of society, and you're sort of,
yeah.
For, you know, this is another thing. Like, when liberals want a safe space, it's always for pussies and it's garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, oh, you know, say you need a safe space. Well, you don't call it a safe space when you're in the Rogan world.
Right.
You call it,
call it a UFC match.
Well, I like the free thinking. I like the, right. We talk about traditional male stuff. Like, that's a safe space. Just because you think you're beating your chest and jerking off, it's like your right. edge, your, it's your safe space. You just don't call it that. But you're going to an intellectual and physical space that comforts you, that if you're dumb or confused or wondering,
right.
this gives you a certainty and a community. That's a safe space too.
Well, you know what the Rogan fan base reminds me of? Bruno, obviously. The end of Bruno. The cage match. My asshole's just for shitting. When they throw the chair into the ring. And it's just all these animals in Missouri or wherever they are.
Yeah. You can say that with the late Vic Henley.
Oh yeah. He was the ref, wasn't he? That's pretty amazing.
I remember talking to him at Gotham about it. I was like, and he was like, no, it was real. Like he was like, they had security. It was like they weren't in super danger, but it was didn't feel completely safe.
Yeah. Well, they were throwing chairs and stuff into the octagon or whatever.
No, but I think that's where I think you're wrong. And then we can end this segment. Okay. By the way, before we end the segment, teaser, Philadelphia, everybody. Philadelphia, August 15th. Tickets are on sale. I'm headlining the Punchline in Philly, one night only. For God's sakes, tell your friends, tell everybody, get your tickets. Please, 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 thank you. August 15th, get them. But, I think that's where the libertarian thing comes in, where you have to find something to be contrarian about. So it's like, I don't think it would be gay issues. That battle has been lost mm-hmm. for the most part. It's trans. It's trans that's
it's
now
such a weird
the,
thing to be upset about.
But it's almost, it's the need, we are in a space now where people need to be upset.
That
we have been trained now to feed off of negative energy. First of all, I want to say on the record, in the words of Bane, you adopted the darkness. I was born into it. That's been my life. I didn't need social media to make me look for complaints and anger.
Sure.
But you only want a few of me in society.
Yeah.
Instead, we've got millions now because we've been like trained to be like, oh, fuck, angry, angry. My Trump video that went viral in 2020, 10%, 15% of the shares were people who didn't watch the video, thought I was pro-Trump, and were like, this is what's
scumbag.
Wrong with the fucking country.
Right.
So that negativity, it's like the sludge in Ghostbusters 2. That's what's running under our entire country through social media. The pink Vigo, the Carpathian sludge. I can't believe you're younger than Ghostbusters 2.
When was Ghostbusters 2?
89.
I'm as old as Ghostbusters 2. I was born in 89.
Johnny, where in the hell are you from? Upper West Side. By the way, the new one, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I actually liked it. I watched it on Netflix.
Missed it.
Yeah, it just went on Netflix. You didn't miss it. It just went on.
Missed it I'm not going to watch it.
With your dismissive Rogan debate me tone.
And my leather jacket.
But it's just one of those, I feel like they'll find the thing. Like trans now is not just about, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't get it doesn't cut it anymore. It's, you have to be about science and health and kids.
Yeah.
So you have the complete moral righteous stand, not just like debating now. Now it's like, I'm on the right side. And I think that's what you'd find in that crowd. Like, oh, let's discuss that. And free speech is the most important thing. And, you know, debate. It is a safe space. It's a safe space for guys you don't want to hang out with.
Yes.
But they wouldn't call it a safe space because that's a liberal pussy thing.
Right.
Theirs is a manosphere or a hangout for guys or a place where men can be men.
Yeah.
Then it's not a safe space because safe space is for pussies. We want to go someplace where we feel smart and comforted and reassured and complimented and as part of a community. but it's not a safe space. So that's what, imagine they call, could we do a parody show called the Joe Rogan Safe Space? Just as a, and I just come in here with like fake tat, like fake couple sleeves. Guns. Just put guns right behind me.
For a while, Waco was a safe space, you know? And then...
Janet Reno, don't fuck around.
That's right.
One of the great fuck around and find out.
That's true.
Don't fuck with a Will Ferrell character.
Yeah, tough lady.
Isn't that kind of a funny thing?
That he did with Janet Reno.
Like
on...
she was in SNL and she was like, ha ha ha. And then like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think in that order, but even so. Even if it's reverse order, it's like, has enough time gone by that we can make her into a comedy character?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I still smell the burning flesh. Let's wait. Let's wait some more. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here. But yeah, that's our thoughts on Rogan. I don't think that was too much of an attack, but he is a cultural powerhouse right now because he's not even the voice. He is the safe space for a lot of guys who, granted, maybe it's good that they have a safe space. Let's be honest.
Right, because that's the thing. I don't think he has any agenda at all. Right. I think he's like, I think Alex Jones has an agenda.
Right.
You know? I don't think Rogan has any agenda. I think Rogan's just like, I'm into guy shit. I like deer hunting and
but just like
UFC
Facebook, just like Mark Zuckerberg started, is just he wanted to humiliate chicks by saying who was hot.
Right.
But at some point, you have so much control over such a group that you have to more responsibility.
You have responsibility.
And, you know, this is coming from somebody who really doesn't have the time or patience to listen to Rogan specials. So I'm sure somebody could accuse me of taking things out of context, but I think I see and hear enough to know the tenor and to know the folks that listen to him and are influenced by him to kind of get the gist. I'm not an idiot, so I can kind of gather what it's about. But that's our take on Rogan, the safe space of Joe Rogan, and we'll be right back after the break. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
I'm still coming down from the alpha brain, so...
Okay.
Got the shakes a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough. Punchdown of the week. I know I already said the attack by black women on me for questioning an Olympic record from 36 years ago was going to be, but I figured let's give a traditional one. I posted a meme that I made. It was just a compilation of two pictures. And what did it say? You don't know.
You asking me?
No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I have no
it was
idea.
Joe Biden recently got no credit for the hostage deal that brought back like this longtime hostage Paul
Whelan.
That's
Whelan. So 80s.
Yeah,
bringing home hostages.
Paul Whelan, I think the guy's name is, and I'm sorry if it's not. I think off of memory. And Evan Long, Eastern European last name, Gerskovich. Let's just say, I know that probably offends somebody out there. It's like wow,
the hostages.
You just think any name that sounds like is our name. But they got the hostages freed. So I posted a side-by-side photo, and it was Joe Biden shaking the hand of a hostage. And I said, how Joe Biden frees hostages versus how Trump frees hostages. And it was Stallone ripped up in Rambo 2 with like an AK-47. Like,
you still love Biden. This is so funny to me.
Huh?
You said you still love Biden.
I do. I think he's done a good job. As some other shows on your network, he's destroyed the country. That's not hyperbolic. Then what did if Biden destroyed the country, since you have to have, then what did Trump do? Like, if Biden destroyed the country, we no longer have a country because of Joe Biden. What did Trump do?
I just think it's funny. You're subtweeting a 23-year-old, 24-year-old. Her birthday was yesterday.
No happy birthday for you and your viciousness against our still president. But I think, no, but the joke there is just like, more the Trump nag of like, look how weak Biden is.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, he got some hostages because he used diplomacy and people pulled favors for him.
Yeah.
And so, of course, somebody posted underneath Weird Al, the Weird Al Rambo parody from UHF, the movie he made, and was like, more like this, but I get it. And I was just like, no, I'm fine. with what I posted. Didn't need that. Didn't need the fine tuning of your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the punch down of the week. And it's, in a way, it's kind of weird. It's pictures, but it's a classic. The person was trying to literally punch up the joke. And I was like, ripped Stallone works. Didn't have to be Weird Al. And it was, the joke was how Republicans see him, not how we see him. So thank you. No, thank you. Shows, Mike. I got to tell them about shows. We've already reviewed a special today. No good. No bueno.
Yeah.
Debate Me. My next special is going to be called Debate Me. And 9 fans will get it. Shows. Philly, I already told them about. I had to tell them about that. That's urgent. And then, folks, Newark, New Jersey, St. Paul, Minnesota, Rutherford, New Jersey, New York City, Chicago, Emporia, Virginia, right above the fucking border of North Carolina. I'm going deep Virginia. A fan wants to bring me down to perform at his bar. They used to do comedy shows, so that's going to be actually probably a lot of fun. That show on October 30th is going to be a hybrid. I'm doing 45 minutes as me, opening up for me as Trump to do like a half hour.
Cool.
Yeah, that's, if you're anywhere near the border of Virginia and North Carolina, that's the one to go to. And then Hartford, Connecticut, and then a bunch of other shows. JLComedy.com for everything. Obviously, we got no new reviews on Half Blackface this week, which was very, very disappointing. 47 reviews. That's all I got. And we haven't gotten a new review for this show in a month.
Not good.
So
pick it up, folks.
That's the free stuff. We don't understand each other.
Cost you nothing.
Clearly. We don't. No, but it makes me happy.
Oh, I get that.
If they can withhold that, that's power.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're holding a voodoo doll of J.L. Covan. And every time they don't review something for free, shit. What was that? The fuck was that? So that's all I got for you. Check out my website. Lots of good stuff there. And I'm going to have very important news. I know some of you aren't even still listening, but I'm going to have very important news about the album of Half Blackface very soon. Seriously important. Not just like, come on, guys, help out. This is like my comedy life. So on that weird, cryptic note, Mike, housekeeping for the people?
It's the same story here, folks. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on the video. You guys have gotten very good at doing that, so please keep it up. That is the place where if you want to have a conversation, that's our safe space, JL. Our safe space for our Rain on Your Parade listeners talk about whatever they want. So leave a comment in there. And if you're watching on YouTube, head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Take us with you on your commute because we are an audio product as well. If you have not left a review on Apple Podcasts, please do it. It does help us tremendously to grow the show and keep building the audience, finding new people to listen to it, and makes JL some money on the road, I guess, maybe?
No, nothing can do that.
Okay.
Unless I go on Rogan.
I think you'd burn that bridge 15 minutes ago.
Shit.
That's the cost of integrity, my friend.
Yeah, it's costly, everybody. Integrity costs a whole lot.
But yeah, that's it for the plugs. Obviously, just do everything that we ask you to do. You can follow Slickback Studios on YouTube as well and on Instagram, Slickback_Studios. And that's all I got.
Thank you very much, Mike. Everybody, it's been a pleasure, as always. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do what Mike said. Do what I said. And have a great rest of the week. And I will see you next Thursday.